Father, we thank you. Thank you for what you did for us. Thank you for sending your son to die on the cross and forgive us of our sins. Thank you, Lord, that you conquered death. You broke the chains of bondage that were holding us down. Thank you that we can freely come to you and worship you. And you hear us. We ask, Father, that as we continue through this service, you'll be with us. You'll open our hearts and our ears to what you have to say to us today. Father, speak through me. Let my words be your words. Use me today. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, one summer, my brother Sid and I, we were at our cottage. It was a trailer, actually. We were at our family summer trailer, and it was a beautiful summer day. The sun was shining, the birds were singing, you know, not a cloud in the sky. It was beautiful, absolutely beautiful. Our parents, our mom and dad, thought, you know what, it's a nice day. We're going to go into town, leave the trailer. We're going to go into town, do some shopping or something, whatever, you know, adults did. I was 15, 13. I didn't care. Right? So they went into town, and my brother and I just, we hung out at the trailer. It was at Lakeshore Pentecostal Camp, actually, if you're familiar, just outside of Coburg. So we were hanging out there. We thought, hey, it's a nice day. Let's, you know, take our bikes. We'll bomb around the campsite, see who we can see, meet some friends. So that's what we did. We did that, and we went to the playground. We went to the other side of the campsite. We went back to the other side. It was back and forth. It was a great day, lots of fun. Until about mid-afternoon. Right around 2 p.m., the weather changed drastically. What was once a bright blue sky turned black. Clouds rolled in. We watched them. It was weird. You watched the sky, and you could just see the black clouds moving in. And all of a sudden, the rain started. And it downpoured. It was torrential rain, like the sideways rain, right? So you know it's coming down heavy when it's sideways. And then the thunder and lightning started. And so it's raining, it's thundering, it's lightning, and we're on our bikes on the opposite end of the campground, right? And so we look at each other, and we hear the thunder. Excuse me. We hear the thunder, and we're like, okay, we got to get out of here. So we hop on our bikes, and we book it. We're trying to get back to the other side of the campsite, to our trailer. And my brother, who would have been around 8 at the time, got scared. It was a big thunderstorm that we were trapped in the middle of. So he got scared, and I could, you know, kind of hear him crying a little bit. It was a scary moment. The thunder and lightning was intense. And we were, you know, just out in our shorts and a T-shirt on a bike in this rain. It was a scary moment. So we're hopping on this bike, and we're pedaling, we're going, and the thunder's happening, and the lightning, and my brother's in front of me scared, and I'm scared, but I'm not going to tell him that. But we're going, we're pedaling, and all of a sudden, there's this blinding flash of light, and then a bang! You know, sometimes life sucks, to be frank. Sometimes life sucks. I'm sure you've had moments in your life where, you know, you've gone through some pretty sucky moments. And there's no other word for it other than that. You just look around and it's like, yeah, that's the best word to describe it. Maybe you're going through some time right now where, you know, your job is really stressful. Your health isn't great. Family members' health isn't great. You can't stop fighting with your spouse for whatever reason. Your kids are just driving you insane. And life kind of sucks. There's family emergencies. It's just, no matter where you turn, something bad always happens. You've had those moments before, I'm sure. In our passage this morning, Mark chapter 5, we'll read about two people who were living through life's sucky moments. At this point in time in Scripture, Mark chapter 5, Jesus is traveling around Israel, teaching and healing people. He's performing miracles. And he's getting off this boat, and a large crowd of people started swarming him. He's swarming him, and people are pressing in, trying to hear him, trying to be healed by him. And all of a sudden, this man presses through the crowd, and he drops to his knees in front of Jesus, and he says, "Jesus, Lord, please, I need you to come. My daughter's ill. She's sick. She's going to die if you don't come and heal her." So Jesus starts walking with Jairus back to his home. And Jairus is the first character we meet in this story who's going through a pretty rough time. And I don't have any children, so I haven't experienced this, but you know, maybe you have. I can't imagine what it would be like watching my daughter get sicker and sicker, knowing that if something doesn't happen right now, I'm going to lose her. I can't imagine that. Some of you here today are familiar with that. It's not a fun moment to be in. You know that feeling all too well. You're familiar with it. So Jesus, hearing Jairus' pleas for him to come heal his daughter, he starts to go with him, but the crowd is pressing in on all sides, and it's difficult to walk through. It's difficult to move. But as we read in Mark chapter 5, verse 25, there's a woman pushing her way through the crowd as well. And she's trying to get close enough to Jesus. And here we have our second character who's going through a rough time in her life. This woman had been suffering for 12 years with a bleeding problem. You know, this wasn't your minor setback, like once a month moment. This was a major condition that she was dealing with. This was constant bleeding that would have left her in terrible discomfort. She would have been shunned by her family. She would have been an outcast, considered an outcast by society, unclean. So nobody would associate with her. No one would even touch her because of this condition. And she had to deal with this for 12 years. So life for her was pretty bad. It was pretty rough. But as we continue reading here in Mark 5, we see that Jesus is distracted by this woman. He stops to talk to her. And so he stops walking with Jairus on his way to Jairus' house to heal his daughter, and he stops to talk to this woman. And while they're talking, life gets worse for Jairus because a messenger comes with news that his daughter had died. And there was no use bothering Jesus any longer. Both of these characters, Jairus and the woman, were going through some very different, very difficult, but very important things. They were going through stuff that I couldn't imagine going through, but there's something very important that they both had in common. And that was their faith. Their faith was something that they both had, and it drove them forward. You know, it could have been easy in these situations for these individuals to look at their situation and say, there's nothing I can do. Life sucks. I hate this. Why did you do this to me, God? Why did you let this happen to my daughter? Why? You know, that woman with the bleeding problem, as she was pushing through the crowds trying to get to Jesus, she was probably mocked. She was ridiculed, scoffed at. Ugh, what's she doing here? Why is she coming to see Jesus? She's unclean. She's not worth it. How dare she try to get to Jesus? Some of you here today, maybe you're familiar with this feeling. You know what your pasts have been like. You know what you've done. You know what's been done to you. And I know there are people here with that little voice inside their head saying, why are you walking into church? What are you doing here? Why? People know what you've done. They don't want you here. Let me tell you right now that you are wanted here. You do belong here. And I don't care what you've done in your past. Jesus doesn't care what you've done in your past. He wants you here. He loves you, and he wants to build a relationship with you. And what about Jairus? His daughter is dying, and he left to go see Jesus. Imagine what's going through his mind as he makes that journey from his house to where Jesus is. Oh, I hope I can persuade Jesus to come. I hope he'll come and see my daughter. What if I can't get to him in time? What if as I'm going to see Jesus, my daughter, who's home without me, what if she dies? Maybe I shouldn't be making this trip. Maybe this was a mistake. Maybe I should go back. I should be with my daughter right now. And I'm sure there's people here today who are feeling like they're in a similar situation. Thinking, it's too late. It's too late for me. It's too late for my situation, what I've done. Jesus can't help me now. I'm too far gone. My situation is too difficult. Friend, you're not too far gone. Your situation is not too difficult. We serve a mighty God who's able to get you through. The title of my talk this morning is Faithing Forward. There's two parts to this title. The first is a play off of the phrase facing forward. So it's like, you know, facing forward with a lisp, faithing forward. It's okay, you don't have to laugh at that. It's all right. But the second is using faith as a verb, faithing, to faith. That's not a thing, but I'm using it as a thing today. Faithing forward. When you're facing backwards, you're not ready for anything. When you're facing backwards, you don't know what's coming. I don't know if you've ever been in a train or another vehicle that's been traveling in one direction and you're facing the opposite direction. It can be a weird feeling. For some people, it makes you really uneasy and you get a little motion sickness. I can sit backwards in a train, no problem. But it's weird watching, you know, watching everything go by. You can only see places that you've been. You know, you don't know what's coming towards you. But when you're facing forwards, you know what's coming. You can see everything you're facing, and you can be ready for it. You can do a little history lesson here. The ancient Greeks had a military tactic called the phalanx. It's called the phalanx. In this formation, in this tactic, all of the soldiers would form kind of like a rectangle. They'd all face one direction. They'd stand shoulder to shoulder, their shields together, and their spears would be poking out the front of those shields. So essentially, it would end up looking like a wall of just shields and spears facing their enemy. They would all march forward as one unit towards the enemy. They would rely on the courage of those in the front line while they all pushed forward together until they broke through the enemy. Friends, when life sucks, keep facing forward. Take courage. Stand shoulder to shoulder with your brothers and sisters that are here. And keep pushing through the enemy. Jairus and the woman, they understood this. They faced forwards, and they pushed through their enemy. If we go back to Mark chapter 5, we see what happens in their stories. The woman with the bleeding problem saw Jesus and thought, if I only get to him, if I can just get close enough to touch the edge of his robe, just the hem, just the tip, if I just get close enough to do that, then I can be healed. She had complete faith in Jesus that if she could just get close enough, he could heal her. So she had faith, and she faithed forward until she could reach out and touch Jesus, and immediately, the Bible says, the bleeding stopped, and she felt restored in her body. At that moment, Jesus felt the healing power leave his body. And he stopped, and he looked around at the crowd and said, "Who touched me?" And the disciples were like, "Jesus, there's a crowd of people around you. How are you going to, how could you ask that? You're not going to find out." But Jesus said, "No, someone touched me." And sheepishly, the woman walks out of the crowd. She kneels in front of Jesus, and she says, "Lord, it was me. I touched you." Now look at verse 34. Jesus said, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over." Your faith has made you well. Faith, that courage in the face of struggles, the trust in God in the face of all your trials and your tribulations, your fears, that faith can heal. Our story's not done, though, because as I said earlier, while Jesus is talking to this woman, Jairus gets news that his daughter died. Jesus was too late. But look at verse 36. But Jesus overheard them and said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid, just have faith." Jesus then took Jairus and a couple of disciples to Jairus' daughter. He went into the room, he took hold of the daughter's hand, and he spoke to her. And the daughter immediately stood up and started walking around. She was raised from the dead and completely healed from her illness. Had Jairus not faithed forward and went to find Jesus, trusting that he would be able to heal her, Jairus would have lost his daughter. Had the woman with the bleeding condition not faithed forward through the crowd and through the judgment, trusting that by just touching Jesus, she would be healed, and she would never have been restored. Friends, if you and I don't faith forward, we will never find our breakthrough. Whatever it is you're going through, whatever sickness or family issue or stress, unforgiveness, grief, whatever it is, if we don't faith forward and push through the enemy's attacks, then we'll get swallowed up by our situation. I'd like to ask the music team to join me. But you say, Pastor Taylor, you don't understand. You don't get it. You don't know what I'm going through. It's not that easy to just faith forward. I can't just push through. I don't even know what direction I'm supposed to go, let alone which way is forward. I can't even see Jesus to be able to reach out and touch just the hem of his garment. My situation is too bad. You're right. I don't know your situation. I don't know how bad it is for you right now. But I do know this. There was a house fire one night, and a young boy was forced to climb out of his window onto the roof. And the smoke was billowing out of the house. It was blocking the sun's view. He couldn't see anything. The father was on the ground, and he was reaching up to his son, saying, "Son, you've got to jump. I'll catch you. I'm right here." But the fire was too big. He couldn't see past the flames, the smoke, the blackness that was surrounding him. The father's on the ground yelling, "Son, jump! I'll catch you." But the son said, "Daddy, I can't jump. I can't see you." The father said in a loud, confident voice, he said, "But I can see you, and that's all that matters." So no, friends, I don't know what you're going through. And yes, it can be difficult to faith forward. It can be difficult to push through when all you see is smoke in every direction. Blackness. But Jesus can see you, and that's all that matters. He's waiting there to catch you. Just jump into his arms. He's not going to drop you. If you just jump in his direction, he'll be right there. Let's bow our heads for a moment. Close our eyes. Some of you here today, are in a situation where you don't know which way to jump. You don't know what direction you need to go. Friends, the best place to start is just to say to Jesus, "Lord, I need you. I need your help." If you've never made a commitment to Jesus, if you've never began a relationship with him, and you want him to come into your life and help you out of the situation you're going through, I encourage you to say this prayer with me. Lord, I need your help. You know what I've done in my past. You know the choices I've made. But Jesus, you still love me. You love me so much that you came and you died on the cross. And you forgave me of all my sins. But more than that, you rose from the dead and you conquered death for me, that I can live with you. So Lord, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Help me to live for you. Amen. With head still bowed and eyes closed. If you said that prayer this morning, first of all, I want to say welcome to the family. But second of all, you probably have some questions. That was a big decision. It's the biggest decision you'll ever have to make. So you probably have some questions. What do I do now? Where do I go? How do I live for Jesus? Now, if you said that prayer with me, and I encourage you just to raise your hand. We have a Bible that we want to give to you. Yes, thank you. We have a Bible with a bit of information that we want to give you. If you just raise your hand, say, yeah, I committed to Jesus. I know it's tough to put your hand up in this kind of situation, so if you still want that Bible, if you still want that information, then you can grab that at the guest service table at the back. So my brother and I are pedaling as fast as we can, when suddenly there's a flash of light and bang, a clap of thunder right above our heads. We saw the bolt of lightning flash above us. I immediately started yelling out to Sid, "Keep pushing forward, buddy, keep pedaling. We're almost there. We're gonna get out of this, just keep going forward." Finally, we make it to our trailer and we collapse under the covered deck, the patio area. Sid and I look at each other and I give him a hug and he says, "Thanks, Taylor." Friends, whatever your situation is, you're gonna make it out of it. You're gonna get through it. Just keep moving forward. Keep faithing forward. Keep pushing through. Have faith. You may not be able to see God through everything that's going on. You don't know where his hands are. But I promise you, he can see you. That's all that matters. I want to open up the altars this morning. The worship team is going to lead us. But I encourage you, whatever you're going through today, whatever situation you're in, bring it to Jesus. He can see you. He knows what you're going through. If you need healing, we can pray for that. If you need faith, we want to pray with you for that. If you need help with forgiveness or guilt or anything, the prayer team is going to come forward even now and prepare. But we want to pray with you today. We're believing that if we faith forward, if we push through, then God is going to do something in our lives. We're putting our faith today in the promise that God is never going to leave us, he's never going to forsake us, and he's always going to be there for us. I want to take some time specifically today to pray. We want to pray specifically for Brian. He's our electric guitar player. He needs a miracle. He's got some pretty major problems right now, health-wise, some infection throughout his body, some cancer. They're going to be doing a tracheotomy soon. He needs a miracle. His wife has asked us to pray. She needs prayer too. She needs faith. So we're going to pray specifically for him as well. But I encourage you, as the worship team leads, to come forward.